he's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management in a rainy Charleston, South Carolina here today. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, and a little bit of a mixed open to the market. We saw new highs yesterday in the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ. They're both giving up just a little bit back here so far, with the S&P down 11 points, 6,742. But as I said, it hit a new high yesterday. NASDAQ is down 28 after hitting a new all-time high yesterday. It's at 23,015. The Dow is the index that is leading the way in the green today. It's up 49 points. 46,650, and it's trading very near its all-time high. The 10-year, very quiet here today. It's at 4.13, very little movement there. Gold is actually pulling back a little bit today. I haven't said that in a long time. It's only at 4,064 right now, after hitting a new all-time high yesterday. And silver, which has been on fire, closing in on $50 per ounce, it also hit a new all-time high. It's at 48.73 today, however, down 0.5%. And our friends over at Bitcoin have got a little rally going on, up 276 to 123,000. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And I'm seeing flood warnings, Barry, in Charleston in effect until 3 p.m. You know, we're the only place that it doesn't necessarily need to rain for a flood to happen, because we right now have a king tide going on, which is an extremely high tide. I'm looking out at my dock, and I can see we're at a very high water mark, as high as it gets right now here in this neck of the woods. You got to wonder the same thing about the market, right now, right? Is this an omen? Jamie Dimon's warning today. The International Monetary Fund, of all people, are warning today about an AI double. Meanwhile, life goes on. All-time highs hit yesterday, and I still say you have to take it one day at a time, and you have to take it one stock at a time, and that's why I spend so much time going through each one of my holdings on an everyday basis, because I feel like the market is definitely top-heavy here. It's like Bob Dylan said, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. It's all you got to do is walk outside and you can feel the wind blowing. And that's all I got to do is every week when I publish my newsletter, a big part of that newsletter is taking a walk down the valuation avenue in the back alleys of Wall Street and looking at price to cash flow, price to sales, price to earnings on the major indexes. And as you have seen in recent editions of the newsletter, we're hitting some all-time highs, just like we're hitting here on the tides in Charleston today, which will flood downtown for sure. Our downtown is, we don't call it the low country for without any reason.
Right.
It's the low country. And guess what?
It's kind of cool out there, though. It feels great.
It's also chilly for us, you know. And it's also filling all those nooks and crannies and tributaries that don't normally see water. And we're also seeing that in the market right now that I talked about yesterday. You know, I would say yesterday I saw a lot. You know, the creeks that were filling up yesterday were the gene editing stocks. Okay, so that's as far out on the spectrum as you can get, right? And, you know, I know ARK Funds has a lot of those gene editing stocks. There was a merger in that industry with one being taken out by one of, I think, Novo Nordisk bought one of them. That's as far out as you can get. And I would just say when the tide starts to recede at some point here, that's where the most vulnerable areas of the market are. Biotechs, quantum computing, digital asset companies, companies that have built their model, their business model on having a cache of Soluna tokens or some other kind of digital currencies. They really have no other business strategy other than that. So basically, they're a proxy. That's all they are for the underlying digital currency that they buy. So those are going to be some very, very vulnerable areas of the market. The rocket ship stocks, the space exploration stocks.
Rocket ship stocks.
Right. Rockets to the moon. Okay. But anyways, the NASDAQ had a huge day yesterday, finished at an all-time high of 23,043. Was that the high level, Mark? Well, I just assume when we hit new highs, I always draw that on my chart, a little line, say, was this the top for this current run in the market that we've had since April of this year, April the 8th? The S&P checks in at an all-time high yesterday. The Dow, however, is very close to it, not quite there. Gold was up 1.5% yesterday, hit an all-time high of 4,063, and on and on, round and round she goes. Where it stops, nobody knows, but we are getting some sobering warnings out there today that we'll go through. And we've also got one big firm, who I do not give a lot of credence to, saying we're in the early innings of this bull market. I don't know how anybody with the right mind can make that statement. This has been going on since 2009. Are we in the early innings of a bull market? I don't know about what this company is saying. We'll get to that in a bit. Well, let's begin with the top-down approach here. U.S. budget deficit narrows slightly. At least they've put the finger in the dike, right? It's not growing anymore. The budget deficit right now for 2025 is $1.8 trillion. In other words, we've spent $1.8 trillion more than we took in. It's narrowing a little bit. At least it's moving in the right direction. It's narrowing 4% from the prior fiscal year's deficit. And I would just say that you're not really counting in. There's going to be some big capital gains taxes paid this year. There's going to be some big receipts coming in early next year, especially if the market starts to quiver between now and the end of the year. You're going to see some profit taking. And Barry, that always brings up the subject, is it better to lock in a big profit and pay the capital gain than losing that profit and not having the capital gain to pay at the end of the year? Okay, that for me, that's an easy decision to make. I would rather have what's behind door number one, than door number two. And people that are exposed to short-term capital gains, you know, your only answer to that is their stocks have to be held in an IRA or a Roth to avoid capital gains, or you have to have capital losses to offset those gains, and it has to be like for like. You can't offset a real estate loss to offset capital gains in the stock market. You have to offset capital gains in the stock market with capital losses in the stock market, if you have any that you're carrying forward. The third choice is not to make any sell, not to incur a capital gain, and watch your capital gain disappear when an eventual market correction comes along. Those are the three doors. Those are the three choices you have. You can't create a S-corp. You can't do any kind of trickery. There's no way around capital gains, okay? Yeah. Even though we dream about it, there aren't.
And it's the old it's the old adage, right? It's, you know, good news, we get bad news and good news, right? The bad news, obviously, we've got some tax liability, but the good news is, right?
You've
you
got some tax liability.
You've got some tax liability.
Yes. I mean, income, that means you made money. Okay. All right. Now, the other factor on this budget deficit, I don't think that it really is counting much in the way of the tariffs yet, which are on full bloom right now, coming in every month. So hopefully we'll continue to see that deficit narrow. Please, God, please let it continue to narrow. We cannot continue to add $2 trillion to our debt every year, year after year after year. Okay, when we come back, man, I'll tell you what, our military employees are getting very nervous, including my son-in-law at Fort Jackson in Columbia, South Carolina. Will there be a paycheck next Tuesday? I think Friday's the deadline for them to end this government shutdown. I'm going to give you the latest on that in a bit. And some Fed governors on more Fed cuts weighing in today. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, one of the biggest hang up on this government shutdown, and we've got a lot of federal employees that listen to our show, Barry. We have a lot of military that listens to our show. I have a lot of people that I'm associated with these days that are in the nuclear program in the Navy here in Charleston. I've got family in the military, my son-in-law over at Fort Jackson in Columbia, South Carolina. The biggest hang-up it seems to be the ACA subsidies for Obamacare. And Trump did update his position yesterday. He's not going to back down on that. He says, we'll discuss that after the government shutdown ends. So that's really the key sticking point right now. And I'm getting text messages from my son. What do you know about the government shutdown? When is it going to end? Well, there's a little bit of nervousness out there right now. It doesn't seem to be impacting the markets at all. But when it impacts the paycheck of, it's not like our military is living high on the hog, making a ton of money, they need those paychecks. So anyways, hopefully by the end of this week, something will be resolved, okay? And on over across, I think it's a big deal. We'll just do this real quickly, but for Israel and Hamas to agree to a ceasefire and for Israel to get the 20 living hostages back, that's quite an accomplishment. That's quite an achievement. In the meantime, China tightens the export rules for crucial rare earths and related technology. Okay, so here we go again, and that seems to be their biggest hammer that they have on their side of the negotiation table. The announcement from the Ministry of Commerce clarifies and expands sweeping controls announced in April, which has caused massive shortages around the world. And the rare earth stocks here in America, I know MP is up 7% today. I know critical minerals, CRML, is up big today, 10 or 11%. And I imagine some of the others are also up. But anyways, this is happening. This is posturing, Barry. Guess who's getting together later this month? Donald Trump and China's president Xi Jinping.
Wonder where we're at. Do we have a location?
I haven't heard the location. I'm sure it's probably been announced by now.
Not going to be Alaska this time, I would imagine.
No, that's a long flight from Washington, D.C. Yeah. It's a short little jaunt for Putin, but you'll have to look that up offline here and see if you can find that. but they will be meeting later this month, and rare earth on their side of the table, and NVIDIA chips, I guess, on our side of the table. A couple of big negotiation points. Powell spoke, didn't say anything about policy at a Fed event, but I did see that another one of them, I'm trying to get to that.
Government shutdown, do they get paid? I was trying to think, does the Fed get paid?
No.
I mean, do the senators or House folks get paid?
Oh, they get paid, sure, but not the military guy.
I was trying to figure that
Schumer's
out.
Schumer's going to get a paycheck, and Johnson's going to get a paycheck. They're the last ones to not get paid. But in the meantime, the little guy, does not get paid. And that was one of the Republicans were floating a bill to say, hey, none of us get paid if we don't come to an agreement here. So anyways, retail sales down, cooled slightly in September. I wouldn't worry too much about that. It's the New York Fed's Williams. He backs more rate cuts due to heightened labor market risk. Okay, I'm all for more rate cuts, but we don't want to bring inflation back. You know, silver kind of gets lost in all of this gold hoopla. Silver is eyeing a historic $50 an ounce mark. $50 an ounce. It was not that long ago that it was in the high 20s. As investors pile into precious metals, and I think that precious metals are being seen as the safe haven in all of these perceived bubbles that are out there right now. That seems to me to be the area, the flight to safety, which it always is. I mean, when it comes down to it, precious metals are tangible. I have my doubts about cryptocurrency being tangible assets that you can sink your teeth into, that you can hold in your hand, right, like you can a box of silver coins or gold cougarans, etc. Market concentration rises, but Goldman, okay, now there's about four or five macro outlooks out there that I want to go through here with you today. Goldman sees no repeat of the 1990s tech bubble. They caution that while valuations are elevated, they do not currently match the extremes seen during private market bubbles. According to the bank's analysis, the median 24-month forward price-to-earnings ratio across the seven companies, these are the big seven, stand at 27x, or 26x when excluding Tesla, which carries a significantly higher multiple than its peers. So they got to take Tesla out, number one, out of the top seven. And they're looking at the largest seven companies during the peak of the late 90s tech bubble and saying we're not there yet. Well, I said the same thing. We're not at 30 yet, but we're at 27. We're not very far from 30. So in my eyes, now I remember back in 2000, I remember a lot of similar types of analysis being made and excuses being made. And I would say the word is rationalizing. So in other words, Goldman is kind of rationalizing away. Well, we're taking Tesla out. Okay, all right. So now there's only six companies. And Goldman is basically looking at the concentration, the companies that are most heavily concentrated, and they're naming those six companies. And they're saying when you compare the valuation of those six, we're not where the valuation of the top six were back in. I don't know that that's the fairest of comparisons. I think you have to look at the whole index myself, because we've spread out to a lot of companies beyond just those fabulous seven. And we are very close to where we were back. And you can't just look at forward PE ratio. What about the price to sales? We've exceeded that in the year 2000. What about price to cash flow? We're hitting a new high there, Goldman Sachs. And what about price to book value? We're also hitting a new high on on the S&P and the NASDAQ indexes, I think you also have to take that into account also. So I think to just kind of brush aside the forward P.E. ratio on the top six stocks is a little bit short-sighted and maybe a little bit rationalizing the current ratios we're at right now. Come back with a couple other takes on this whole matter.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
To the second to half of today's Best Stocks Now show. It looks, sounds like Korea, South Korea, is where they're going to meet. They're going to have a big Asia powwow over there in late October, 4 weeks. They will be meeting on the sidelines in Korea. South Korea, by the way, we're not at Kim Jong-un's house. So that is going to happen. And, of course, China is posturing for that already by limiting those rare earth minerals. Okay, here we go again. Now, one last thing from Goldman Sachs on the sunny side of the street. They're probably more optimistic. There's one other one, too, that's very optimistic. Goldman Sachs does not believe that we're in a bubble yet. It says, while it appears we're not in a bubble yet, high levels of market concentration, I would probably put AI in that boat, and increased competition in the AI space suggest investors should continue to focus on diversification. Well, I would say diversifying in other areas beside AI stocks. But having said that, Barry, if the market were to go, all right, I mean, it went in 08 and 09, it went down 53%, S&P 500. 2000, it went down 79%, NASDAQ. It pretty much takes everything with it. I mean, I don't care if you're diversified in drug stocks and insurance stock. They go too. So I can see how that would soften the blow on the downside, right, by being diversified. If you had all your eggs in the AI basket, the areas that went up the most are the most vulnerable. There's just no question about that.
Well, and that's why I think it's the most valuable when you mentioned, you know, as you've been sending out charts, you know, what are the first and you know, some of our internal discussions, you know, what goes first, right? I mean, you know, years ago, right, it was always, you know, biotech, right? Because,
yeah,
you know, biotech was the most risky space. I mean, you either drug either gets approved or the company goes to zero, right? And then, of course, now we've got all these
quantum,
other, as you've mentioned, quantum.
Rocket, you know, ships.
Small nukes, right?
Small nukes.
You know, so those are the spots. I mean, I think it's key that you're pointing out, hey, if you're, you know, if you're in these names, you've had a great experience up to this point, but, you know, keep a tight leash on them, right?
Now, the International Monetary Fund, Kristalina Georgieva, declared on a speech Wednesday about the uncertainty that is out there right now, and she did call out an AI bubble. So she disagrees with Goldman Sachs' take that there is no bubble, but there is danger, Goldman Sachs says. She's talking here. This is the one that stood out to me. She says another danger sign is the climbing amount of public debt. Now, Barry, I got another email yesterday from one of these institutions that's putting together private debt I'm going to read the email in the last quarter of the show about this new fund that they're putting together of private debt, and it's going to yield over 10%. That would be the last thing I would be buying. Right. Yeah. I can't imagine anything. It's just how stupid I see Wall Street, just like back in the year 08 and 09 with the mortgage debt that they were packaging and selling. But anyways, the International Monetary Fund, which they don't normally warn on market conditions. Now, Jamie Dimon, he pretty much is always fairly pessimistic. But Jamie Dimon says the U.S. stock market could be headed for a serious correction, okay, within the next 6 months to 2 years. He really pinned that down, didn't he? Next 6 months to 2 years. Well, Jamie, can you be a little bit more specific than that? Okay. At least we're good until the end of the year, I guess, according to.
Meanwhile, they also probably have a lot of 6 month price targets, right? Named at JP Morgan. So it's,
well, and they're also packaging private debt, tranches to sell to their people. To their clients and private company tranches that they're packaging together this stuff as fast. I don't know if JP Morgan's in on it. I know that Franklin Funds is in on it because I heard the CEO talking about how this is the hottest ticket on Wall Street today, private debt and private stocks available to the general public. In other words, shift the burden and the risk away from you guys, right, and shift it to the little guy holding this toxic waste. Anyways, NVIDIA chief Jensen Huang, and that's one of the reasons why you had the new high in the market yesterday. He says there's no bubble. But does Jensen Huang, doesn't he have a bit of a conflict of interest, Barry? He's heavily invested. His company is heavily invested in a lot of these private AI companies, and he differentiates the current surge in investment and valuation in the industry compared to the dot-com bubble in 2000, which seems to be the one we are most looking to right now.
Yeah, I mean, the one big difference, I think, is that, you know, what it is they're essentially kind of building an ecosystem, right? I mean, they are, you know, he's making investments in these other companies that are obviously likely going to use, you know, in some form or fashion, NVIDIA chips to you know, kind of make their way and do what they're doing on the AI front, whether it's healthcare or any other self-driving, all kinds of different things that they've invested in. But you know, you do hear this thing where it's kind of almost like a circular, you know, circular revenue, right?
Yeah.
I buy it from here.
Incestuous.
I invest here, right? And
yes,
you know, and you know, I think you can kind of play that out. I think that the real key is, I think they're really kind of building an ecosystem, which an ecosystem is circular to a certain extent.
Well, right? Okay. I mean, he makes the argument that there's very little comparison to the year 2000,
right. Yeah.
Because he said all the internet companies combined back then were worth $30 to $40 billion, which is nothing in today's standards,
yeah, right?
He said increasing investments in hyperscalers and other infrastructure companies are growing naturally as a part of the $500 billion capacity build-out. According to Wang, hyperscaling is already a $2.5 trillion business with the capital expenditure of about $500 billion. But I still look at the multiples. There's the common denominator between the internet companies back then and the hyperscalers today. To me, the common denominator that you use are price to sales, price to cash flow, price. Because I heard the same argument during the internet boom, the dot-com boom. You can't look at the P.E. ratios today like we used to look at P.E. ratios. We're in a whole new paradigm. Well, you know what? 30 times earnings is still 30 times earnings. It takes 30 years to get your investment back, whether it's a hyperscaler or whether it's a dot-com company. So that's the way I look at it. I look at a common denominator. He doesn't. Now, here's the company that's saying that we're in the early innings of this bull market. Okay, this is the most outrageous claim of all. This is according to Carson Group, This is a company I know a little bit about. They're out of Omaha, Nebraska, and they're buying up companies like myself like crazy, like hotcakes right now. They say that we are in Carson Group remains upbeat, arguing that the current bull market is still in its early stages. Viewed through the historical lens, man, I have a hard time with that assessment. They say the bull market is almost 3 years old. I would argue it began in 08 and 09 when the S&P hit 660, and now we're at 6,600. We're up, how many fold is that, tenfold since then? And earnings have been going up. This is not a three-year-old bull market, Carson Group. It's much longer than that. And I would argue against your assessment that we're in the early innings. We'll see if we're in the early. Only time will tell. If we're in the early innings of it, that means we got what, 20
more
years?
A long
ways to go. Okay, the stock that's been rebounding, and I wanted to get your take on this. I think this is a positive. Netflix was under some pressure because of the boycott called by Elon Musk and other tech giants on some of the agendas they apparently are pushing over there at Netflix. They're going to bring video games to the TV screen in their latest push beyond streaming. I see that as a bullish development. You mull on that during the break when we come back. But I'm seeing some constructive movement in Netflix stock to the upside once again because it's still an earnings powerhouse. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of this Best Stocks Now show on this Thursday, October 9th. Yeah, the biggest question right now, is this a bubble? Is this not a bubble? Is it going to pop? When's it going to pop? How much further can it go? It depends on who you listen to, number one. Number two, it depends on the stock and the sector also. There's some massive bubbles out there in certain areas of the market, and I take it one stock at a time. And I look at all my holdings on a daily basis, and sometimes here recently we cut one that had done very well. We cut that position in half. Goldman Sachs was the name, and now we own half of what we own, and we locked in a big profit on the half that we own. And the other half may go soon. It just depends. You know, I watch each one, and I draw lines in the sand. I think the market is much, much more manageable when you break it down into smaller pieces than just making a blanket call. The market's in a bubble, sell everything. I mean, that's what amateurs do, right? And amateurs also say that we're in the early innings of this current bull market. That is just not, I don't like that thinking at all. I don't know how you can say that when this has been going up since 08 and 09. But that's just me. I mean, you have to choose your own gurus. You have to choose your own gurus wisely. What about playing games on Netflix? Is that a thing?
I've never seen the kids do it, but I mean, it sounds like they've got the infrastructure, right? I mean, like, you know, I guess you got to hook it up to the internet is the key, right? Because the fact
everybody's got the internet.
Yeah, I guess in terms of the information coming through, because I know they've had problems, you know, bandwidth problems with live events, right? Right, and things, but to me, I mean, would be great. I mean, you wouldn't have to have the, you know, wouldn't be filling up with, you know, our kids don't have a disc anymore. It's, you know, the program is, you know, downloaded onto the system. In this case, I guess you would have, you know, the game is coming from, right, Netflix. You don't have it on your system, so my guess is, I'm not an expert on bandwidth, my guess is you may need more bandwidth and better you know, better connectivity, or, you know, most of that's probably going to be on Netflix's end figuring it out. But, I mean, to me, it makes perfect sense.
Well, while we were in the Silicon Valley, we met with a couple who, she has worked for Microsoft for years in the Xbox.
Right. Yep.
Remember that? I mean, yeah. It would be interesting to get her take on, is this a threat to PlayStation, Nintendo? Is it a threat to Sony? Is it a threat to Microsoft's Xbox? So anyway, something to think about. But I don't
think most of the money is in the games, so it'd be interesting to see how that would, you know, I know Xbox has been, you know, talking about doing this for an extended period of time, but it's just, you know,
a subscription.
Yeah, closest they've came to is, you know, downloading the games onto your system instead of having a disc, if you
will. But I would make the argument that the stock Netflix is not in a bubble, for instance, okay? So it goes stock by stock, all right? I mean, there's stocks that still have fairly low PEG ratios and fairly low PE ratios, including Jensen Huang's stock, NVIDIA, which I don't think NVIDIA's in a bubble. But I look at the downstream, which we've been talking about, the further, the hinterlands, the little streams that have filled up with money and private placements and convertible debt offerings and this and that, and they're storing tokens and making monetizing tokens and whatnot. There's where your bubbles are right now.
Alibaba. Yeah, I saw something about tokens. Tokens are up like 50x.
Yeah.
Since they've
Okay.
I mean, you know,
that's ridiculous. Right. Can I buy a loaf of bread with a token? No. Alibaba signs AI cloud deal with NBA China. Okay, that's good. I mean, Alibaba's trading at still not even over 20 times earnings, really, but it is in a communist country. All right. Akero Therapeutics soars on $5.2 billion acquisition deal with Novo Nordisk. Now, I believe there's bubbles in the gene therapy, especially, because that is really out there on the frontier. There's only been a couple of, you know, near hits, really, in that the CRISPRs of the world.
And
all
you followed
of those,
it. You followed that for a long time.
For a long time, yes.
Still and haven't seen much of a payoff.
Not much coming from it, but a lot of money thrown at it. And Kathy Woods has backed up the truck, right, or the Cybertruck. And loaded up in that area. Orsted's cutting 25% of their jobs in America. Well, yeah, there's been a strategic shift away from solar and wind, and Orsted, obviously, is a European company. They're going to focus all their efforts on Europe, which is still pretty much all in on the wind. And the question is the answer blowing in the wind, my friend? And I'm not so sure it can run a data center is the problem. Now, here's another sign of a bubble. WisdomTree rolls out a quantum computing fund. Okay, right at the top. Is that a lot of times that's a sign of a top when they say, okay, now we'll start. They should have started this a year ago. IREN is another one that I see as bubblicious, I-R-E-N. They price $875 million in convertible debt offering. Would you buy convertible debt on IREN, I-R-E-N, which I watch every day? It's one of the hottest stocks in the entire market. It's out of Australia. But when they can just do an offering like that and it gets gobbled up, $875 million of convertible bonds debt on a stock like IREN,
which is dilutive because those bonds could potentially be converted into equity, which is dilution. So.
And it could be never be able to be converted if that doesn't meet the
right.
The risk you're taking there is unbelievably high. It's extreme. And we'll close with this. I got a cute little picture I'm going to put in the newsletter this week. DoorDash partners with Serve Robotics for autonomous robot deliveries. I'm wondering when my lunch will be here. It shows this little cute little thing going down the street saying robot delivery coming from DoorDash. And, of course, this works on a sidewalk in Los Angeles, but obviously in areas where we live, Barry. I don't know how well it's going to work, but
looks like it's from Star Wars.
It does. It looks like R2-D2 delivering your submarine sandwich. Okay, to get in touch with us, to set up an appointment, are you in harm's way? I don't know. 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST to set up an appointment with us. Or to get a free trial, 4 weeks, to the whole enchilada, the newsletter, the app, everything, go to GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.